Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, as we head into the Advent season and toward the celebration again of the birth of Christ. Beginning at verse 26 in Luke 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will receive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the house of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And every year, and this year is no exception, they seem to fly by. Seems like it was just January, February this year, and here we are in December in the Advent season, heading toward the celebration once again of the birth of Christ. We're headed, as I said, toward Christmas, that season of wonder, that season of reflection and hope, where we return and remember what God did for us so many years ago in the most unlikely of places and the most unlikely of ways. As I was preparing and praying for our time together this morning, though, I found once again that I could only shake my head as I try to understand it all, and I still can't. I mean, think for a moment about it. The plan to have the Son of the Most High God born to a virgin in Bethlehem in a cold, damp, dark, and dirty stable behind an inn with only a few shepherds and barnyard animals there to witness and to commemorate and to celebrate the wonder of the moment. Isaiah prophesied that birth many years earlier when he announced, as is recorded in chapter 7, verse 14 of the book of Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Of course, Emmanuel means God with us. But I'm sorry, my friends. I'm sorry. It's simply not the way any of us would have introduced the Savior into the world. Is it? Really? Stop with me for a minute. Think about it. Mary was a young girl, maybe, 14 to 16 years of age. No doubt she came from a poor family, yet there she was, chosen by God for perhaps the most important act of obedience in all of history, the virgin birth. What a strange way to save the world, as only God can. Of course, we need to remember that we're not talking about you or me. We tend to try and think, at least most of us and me, most of the time, think logically. But we think in the natural. But we're talking about a God who works and lives in the supernatural, who is there before anything. As my granddaughter Ellie reminded me when she asked, I mentioned this to you before, she asked me one day, "Gran, who made God?" I haven't answered it yet. And told her one day she'll find out, we'll all find out how it all began. But if we're honest about it, a lot of things which happened and which still happen, and a lot of his ways, well, not only are they hard to understand, but they do actually seem a bit strange. After all, through the ages, God has communicated with us through angels, as he did to Mary, and dreams. He has written messages on walls and talked through a donkey. He has led his people out of slavery in Egypt and across the desert with a column of clouds by day and a column of fire by night to show them the way. He had a big fish chase after and swallow a deserter named Jonah. He parted the Red Sea so that his people could escape the Egyptian army. He has healed the sick, and he has brought people back to life. And then he allowed his son to be nailed on the cross and raised him 3 days later from the tomb for you and for me. Which of those doesn't seem a bit strange to you? Maybe even hard to understand. Yet God did them all. So when are we going to submit, surrender, and simply realize that we are never going to understand the ways of the infinite mind of God? I wonder why it is that we always seem to have to understand what and how our holy, all-powerful God does what he does before we will fully submit and follow and say yes and believe in all he can and will do. Isn't it enough for us to look back and see all that he has already done? The truth is that we will never understand God's ways, God's mind, and his wonder on this side of heaven. So why not believe? Why not follow? Did you notice Mary? There she was, young, poor, a virgin, probably not too sophisticated with the ways of the world and her culture. She asked a quick question of the angel Gabriel when he told her about what was going to happen. How will this be, since I am a virgin, she asked, making sure he knew, just in case he needed to know and didn't understand how things worked. But then when the angel Gabriel answered her and told her how it would happen, she was all in. She didn't say, are you nuts? You got to be kidding. A baby? Me? The Holy Spirit will come upon me and the Most High power will overshadow me? Like that? How could that happen? No, none of those words came from her lips. Instead, dear, young, precious Mary, with quiet, trusting assurance, said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She didn't question. Surely she had to be overwhelmed by everything that was happening to her, but she didn't seek to control the situation. Instead, she simply said, "Let it be. Let it be." Mary didn't have any idea how she was going to explain what was happening to her family or to the family of Joseph, to whom she was engaged to be married, or to friends and community who might surely want to know what was going on when they saw her walking around the neighborhood getting a little bit larger and still unmarried, but appearing to be with child, appearing to be pregnant. She didn't understand it and couldn't explain it all, but it didn't matter to her. She trusted God. She kept her sense of wonder at who he was and all he could do. And believing God was in control, Mary simply responded, "Let it be." She trusted God's plan, surrendered to the one she knew she could trust, and gave up control of her life to him. "Let it be," she said, "according to your word." Reading that story again in Luke causes me to realize that Mary's story at times is a lot like mine, maybe like yours too. We find ourselves in the middle of life, overwhelmed by things we don't understand, not knowing which way to turn or what we should do with the troubles and decisions we face. But I wonder if our response is like Mary's. There have been times when we've all reached a point where darkness is all we see and we don't know what to do or where to go for help and guidance. We look for answers, and in brokenhearted moments, we seek God's wisdom and direction and hope beyond hope that we'll recognize it when it comes. Yet we struggle to understand and to get to where Mary was, to get to a place surrendered like she was to the wonder of God. Mary's example to you and to me and to all the world, in that divine moment in history, standing before the angel Gabriel, shows us how to face all that is before us and all that will be before us. But Mary's example is to trust and surrender our way to God's way. Surrender to the God who created us and sent his son for you and for me. She said, "Let it be." Basically, let it be born in me. Let him be born in me. "Behold," she said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What about you? Tired of trying to run it all? Not sure what to do next or which way to go? Maybe it's time for you and for me to stop, trying to run the world and trying to predict the future. Maybe it's time instead to give God control, the God of it all, the God of wonder, to give him the full control of our lives. And the neat thing about doing that is this: there is nobody better to trust than him with it all. Let it be. Let it be according to your word. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time. These dear friends, thank you for the impact that you've led us to have in this world already. But thank you for so much more that you want us to have. But we need to get to a place, Lord, where we, like Mary, are surrendered to you, surrendered to your way and your direction for our lives, surrendered understanding that that's when we become all that we are created to be, not just what we are in the midst of our natural decisions. Help us to surrender to you, to follow you, to be all that you want us to be. Help us to every day say, let it be according to your word, and to move forward then with you to make a difference in the world, with you and for you, and in our lives and those around us. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for this Advent season that we've entered as we head toward the celebration anew and afresh of the birth of your son. Thanks for that day when you decided to send him here. Thanks for his life in ours, that salvation experience that he provided for each one of us to live with you eternally. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.